Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. This is number two in transhumanism. What is transhumanism? That sounds like some strange science fiction thing that you would watch on Star Trek. Now, as our kids were growing up, David was an absolute, how should we say, transfixed by Star Trek. And I never could stand it because we saw these half humans, you know, weird ears and weird foreheads, and then the blinders on and all of this, and they're traveling through the universe. Well, we're getting close to that very real thing today. Now, transhumanism. Let me read you the definition of it. Okay. Again. So that you understand what it is, transgenetic and transhuman. Transgenetic, related to or being an organism whose genome, now that means your whole genetic makeup, has been altered by the transfer of a gene or genes from another species or breed. Okay? So there are also transgenic plants. That's called genetic modified foods. And we have it in so many things that it's almost impossible to get away from. So what you do is be sure and stay away as much as possible from all the processed foods and snacks. Figure out another way, because nearly all corn, good bit of wheat, all soybean, are all genetically modified. Now, they found this out. Europe has said, no, we don't want to buy any American genetically modified foods. And you have genetically modified tomatoes with a flounder gene in it from a fish, so it won't freeze in cold temperatures. You have genetically modified potatoes with a moth gene in it, so it won't spoil. You also have genetically modified foods with the reproduction of the seeds, it has insecticide in it. Roundup. Okay. Herbicide. Insecticide or herbicide, one of the herbicides is Roundup. Roundup is found in so many foods. It's incredible. Now, number two, transgenic is of or relating to the study of transgenic organisms, transgenic research, transgenic engineering. The human genome can now, in a test tube, be altered. And they change the gene and then put it into the egg, in vitro fertilization, and then they implant it in a woman, and she will give birth. Now, there will be males and females. After that, the genes are there permanently. And as I read in the first one on transhumanism, they have already got the laws already made on what are the legal rights of a transhuman. What if they're 50% of one species and half human? What rights are they entitled to? How can you handle that? Are they genetically designed so much that now the scientific laboratory can patent it? If you are patented, are you a slave? Are you a commodity? And if so, can you be disposed of? See? Now, remember, all of these scientists who are involved in it are atheist, and they believe in what is called directed evolution. through genetics, so that human beings will have better minds. And for the soldiers, they are finding this. They want them stronger. They're trying to figure out how, since different animals have different perception sight-wise, how to improve the human sight. Or put the genes for the eyeballs from the other animals for night vision, for long-distance seeing. Improve the other ability of the body. How about smelling? You can smell the enemy long way away. That's right. I mean, in Korea, you didn't need that because they had gohong over there. You know what gohong is? Rotten rice and rotten squid that have not been refrigerated, shipped inland 120 miles and cooked in this goop that is absolutely, I don't know if you remember that or not, Gene, but boy, we could smell that a long way away. Okay? Now, it showed a picture on this DVD that I watched last night, and I didn't realize how far along that transhumanism really is. So I'm going to watch it again. But now, this may sound a little strange because you haven't heard much about it, but this is the real deal. And they've been working on it for decades. This is nothing new. They are now ready to launch it. Okay? They even have scientists who say, how is the public going to react to this if we have a CHIRMA, is what they call them, C-H-I-R-M-A, a CHIRMA, that's 50% human and 50% animal. How are we going to do that? Okay? And when they had a big conference of it in London, there were two Catholic bishops who were there too. And it was a conference and a forum, so they were discussing the legal rights, you know. And then the question comes up, how do you handle the problem of the soul? Is the soul half human and half animal? And what if, after the surrogate mother gives birth to the child, and she's the legal mother, and it's half human and half animal, what if she says that she wants to raise it? Now what do you do? What are the legal rights? See, man thinks that he can always outdo God. Now, what they want to do, they say, well, this will make human beings smarter and stronger, and we'll be able to have the best military in the world. All right. Now, let me read you something here that I have. Okay. Okay. Question is, what are they going to look like? Well, are they still going to be in God's image or not? All right. In watching the video on the DVD, it showed a soldier. Because if they had animal eyes, they could see further. And if they had animal genes for the nose, they could smell further. And if they had the animal genes, they would be instinctive killers. That's what they want. So they showed a soldier who had, up here, it was like a wolf. So how are they going to look? I don't know. Go watch Star Trek. Look at what they had there. You know. Okay. All right. Now, a lot of people think that this is new, and it's not. As I mentioned, it's been going on for decades. Now, if you look up transhumanism and the various other websites online, you're going to find, guess how many web pages worldwide that are discussing this, people who are planning this, 250,000 websites. So this is pervasive. Leading universities around the world have been working on this for decades. They now have the systems. Recently in Britain, they had the first child born that has genes from three parents. Now, what are you going to do with that one? Whose father, whose mother? Okay. Now, if you want to know about genetic engineering, and you do a Google search for genetic engineering, you're going to find that there are 24 million genetic engineering websites. So this is big time. They are wanting to launch this as soon as they can. So they've got to get the public used to it. Now, hearken back, as I mentioned in the first one, remember when President George W. Bush signed the law that the scientists could not use stem cell from previously in vitro embryos that were frozen. Couldn't use government funding. Well, that didn't stop the private funding by any means. But they were studying it to do the transhuman thing. So in the bill that, or the executive order, whichever one it was, that George W. Bush signed, they had a clause in there that no one could patent any of the things that they did genetically. Guess what Obama did his first week in office? Signed an executive order overriding it. Now federal funding goes to it. There are hundreds of millions and billions of dollars into this. Okay? So, they have already done this. They have taken pigs and genetically modified them with human genes. So they have human hearts, human pancreas, etc. They're a pig on the outside and human organs on the inside. And it's already successful. On this DVD, it showed the picture of the pigs. Can you imagine that? Yes, you come up and go, quack, quack, quack. What's the matter with you? Oh, I got a pig heart the other day. You know. Okay. What about this? What if they're working on one and they want to develop it so a soldier can have some skunk genes? So in case the enemy's chasing him, he can let them have it? Okay. But it's a miscue, and every time he sneezes, you know, got to have a little bit there. Okay. Now, in doing this, they call this directed evolution. Now, think about it for a minute. Evolution is supposed to be natural selection, right? So what are they doing? They are denying the theory of evolution, correct? They are admitting that there are barriers between the kinds. They're admitting that Genesis 1 is correct. God created the birds after their kind, the animals after their kind, the fish after their kind, human beings after their kind, and the barriers cannot be broken naturally. Now, the Nazis and the Soviet Union tried to mate chimpanzees, orangutans, and gorillas with humans. Wouldn't take. So, with getting into the test tube, with knowing the genes, now they can do anything. Because a gene is a gene is a gene is a gene is a gene. And once it gets into the system and is passed on by inheritance, it is there permanently. Think on that. Okay. Now, let me do a little reading from this article here. And this is by Tom Horn. He is the one, Thomas Horn, who did the DVD. And it was interesting. He said he was a Christian, but he didn't have a clue that this is also mentioned in the Bible. Not directly, but mentioned in the Bible. And he did not push the point on it. I don't think he even understood it. Okay? The former chairman of the Bush, of President Bush's Council of Bioethics, Leon Case, provided a status report on how real and how imminent the dangers of GRIN technologies, that's another name for it, could be in the hands of transhumanists. In the introduction of his book, Life, Liberty, and the Defense of Dignity, The Challenges of Bioethics, Cass warns, now I'm going to try and get that book so I can give a subsequent sermon on this. Human nature itself lies on the operating table, ready for alteration, for eugenic and psychic enhancement, for wholesale redesign. And the DVD shows that they are even conceiving artificial wombs that will work in the laboratory. And this is being pushed by the feminists so they don't have to bear children. They're even considering making androgynous human beings. What does androgynous mean? Male and female together. How's that going to work? The leading laboratories, academic and industrial, new creators are confidentially amassing their powers and quietly honing their skills, while on the street, their evangelists, that is the transhumanist, are zealously prophesying of a post-human future. That's why they're destroying Christianity. That's why they're destroying credibility in the Bible. You can't have Christians who will stand up and say, no, that is from Satan the devil. Now, the truth of it is this. Satan the devil has inspired human beings to develop his way of humans becoming gods, which means he's remaking them through this in his evil image for sure destruction. Now, let's go one step further on this, okay? God made human beings to be after their kind, and so that through the plan of salvation, we will become after the God kind. Now, that is not transhumanism. That is trans-species, from the humankind to the God kind, through God's plan, his Holy Spirit, see? So this is Satan's counterfeit. You listen to me, I'll make you smarter. Eve, that's right. That fruit is going to be really good. And we'll see what they did before the flood. We covered some of this here recently just in thinking about it, but now we'll go into it in a little more detail in a bit. All right? For anyone who cares about preserving our humanity, the time has come for paying attention. All right. What they want to do? They want to have specially trained law enforcement courses for personnel in law enforcement. They're preparing for the future. How do you come in and analyze a crime scene or a murder when the suspect is half human and half animal? How do you handle that? How do you handle the forensics of that? Add to this other unknowns such as memory transference. They're figuring out how now they can take the memory out of one person and transfer it into the brain of another person. An entirely new field of study suggesting that complex behavior patterns and even memories can be transferred from donors of large human organs to their recipients. Oh, remember we saw the report that they are considering in America bringing back the guillotine? Guess what? All the human parts are intact. And these will be used for the potential of tomorrow's world, human-animal chimera, and then the issues begin to multiply. How would the memories, behavior patterns, and instincts, for example, of a wolf affect the mind of a human? That such unprecedented questions will have to be dealt with sooner or later has already been illustrated in the animal-to-animal experiments, where they took sections of the brains of embryonic quails for transplant into the brains of chickens. Now, why are they doing this? So they can figure out what to do with human brains. The resultant chickens exhibited head bobs and vocal shrills unique to quail. Instead of, you know, the cluck, 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 like chickens do. I wonder what a rooster would sound like. The implication from this field study alone proves that complex behaviors can be transferred from one species to another, strongly suggesting that transhumans will likely bear unintended behavior and appetite disorders that could produce lethal lycanthropes. Lycanthropes is a technical name for werewolves. We had movies for that? Yes, indeed. What was one of the first movies that they did when movies first came out? Remember that? Frankenstein. As troubling as those thoughts are, some in government and scientist communities believe these dangers could be just the tip of the iceberg. One-on-one interpersonal malevolence by human animals might quickly be overshadowed by global acts of swarm violence. Now consider this. You get one of these half and halves and he's convicted. And now you have to set up a whole new prison, right? I mean, have you ever seen some of these maximum prisons where they keep them in there for life? What are you going to do with these guys for life? And if you think the riots in prisons have been bad, what do you think it would be like if you had a whole prison full of these and they had a riot? And they all had that animalistic instinct to kill. The guards would be unable to handle it. Okay, let's go on. See what else they say. The new species, or post-human, would likely view the old normal humans as inferior, even savages, and fit for slavery or slaughter. The normals, on the other hand, may see the post-humans as a threat, and if they can, may engage in a preemptive strike by killing the post-humans before they themselves are killed or enslaved by them. You ever heard of the Planet of the Apes? Have you ever heard of Avatar? Those are all post-humans. Or, as it's listed, H+. It is ultimately this predictable potential for genocide that makes species-altering experiments potential weapons of mass destruction and makes the unaccountable gene engineer a potential bioterrorist. What if they were able to do like they've shown in movies, where they take a man or a woman and give them training, and they inject into their mind what they want to have, and then, at the set moment they want to use that person for the special mission, they're able to send a signal, switch the switch in the brain, and they go do what they do. And no memory of it. Okay? This is a nightmarish vision of a near future wherein articulates and post-humans join against normals in an incomprehensible war leading to giga-death. Another thing that he showed on this DVD was this. What if they develop a cancer vaccine by taking the genes from animals? And because they already use animal genes, they already use the fetuses of aborted babies, too, in the vaccinations that they give, you see? Okay. What if they were able to develop a vaccine against cancer, and it was effective? And then it was decided everybody in the world is going to have this and we'll eliminate cancer. And then it had a 5-year kickback where it caused death. Now what are you going to do? See? Oh, yes, man is smarter than God. Mm-hmm. All right. Notwithstanding such warnings, the problem would be inevitable. As Professor Gregory Stock, in his well-researched, convincing book, Redesigning Humans, Our Inevitable Genetic Future, argues that stopping what we've already started is impossible. We simply cannot find the brakes. In fact, the competitive advantage, economic, military, and even artistic, of every advance in automation is so compelling that passing laws or having customs that forbid such thing merely assures that someone else will be the first to get them, so we must spend billions to do it ourselves. That's something. Then it talks about making a man 2.0 for the soldiers of the next war. All right. The question is, if they reproduce and you have various species, what, for example, will happen if you have someone who has been genetically modified to have a very passive personality, and there's a marriage between, so the other mate, whether male or female, comes from a wolf or comes from a lion, what's going to happen? What's going to happen if they have an argument? How are you going to handle these things? See? I mean, just human arguments alone and human life the way it is today is tough enough. Just think what it's going to be then. So this is not something way, way, way down the road. This is something they're ready to launch right away. Okay? Okay, so here's what they want to do. All right? Transhumanists support the emergence and convergence of technologies such as nanotechnology, biotechnology, information technology, cognitive science, and hypothetical future technologies such as simulated reality, artificial intelligence, superintelligence, mind uploading, chemical brain preservation, and cryonics. They believe that humans can and should use these technology to become more than human. They therefore support the recognition and protection of cognitive liberty, morphological freedom, procreative liberty as civil liberties. Well, that sounds like what happened up in San Francisco recently, okay? So as to guarantee individuals the choice of using human enhancement technologies on themselves and their children. You know, you go to a family that has a very talented young basketball player, okay? And say, now, if you'd like to have another child, we can enhance him so he will be better than your superstar son now. Think of the millions that he could produce for you. Don't you think you would like to do that? Just sign right on the dotted line, okay? They therefore support, yes, all of these things here. Some speculate that human enhancement techniques and other emerging technologies may facilitate more radical human enhancement no later than the midpoint in the 21st century. Now they're saying 5 to 10 years. Okay? Transhumanism is often abbreviated to H+, as an international intellectual and cultural movement that affirms the possibility and desirability of fundamentally transforming the human condition. See, God's plan is to fundamentally change human nature through his spirit. They will never, never be able to control the evil of the human mind or the evil of the wild animal minds. All right, post-humanist. Now, we've read before where Jesus said, he said it in Matthew 24 and Luke 17, where he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until Noah entered the ark. Likewise, in the days of Lot, they were marrying, giving in marriage, and you can imagine what those would marriages would be in Sodom, same ones that they're pushing today, okay? They were buying, they were selling, they were planting and everything. All right. Were their activities only limited to that? Is it a sin to buy and sell? No. Is it a sin to marry and be given in marriage? No, unless it's to the same sex. Okay? So, when Jesus said, as it was in those days, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So we can look at what is happening today, and we can conclude that's what they were doing before the flood. Now, let's go back to Genesis 6, and we will look at the evidence there. Okay, Genesis 6. We need to ask the question, why was human conduct and human life so evil that God had to destroy all but one man and his family? I mean, you need to think about it. That's pretty drastic. Now, compare that with what God said to Abraham when Abraham came to him and said, "Oh Lord, will you destroy the city if there are 50 righteous? No, I won't. 45? No, I won't. 40? No, I won't. 30? No, I won't. Excuse me, one more time, please. Okay. 10? No, I won't." So what does this tell us? The evil must have been so absolutely intense. Let's take what we're doing now, and Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And what can we conclude was happening? Exactly what is happening today, only on a much more magnified scale, because the people lived longer. Now, let's come forward to this side of the flood. When they were building the Tower of Babel, what did God say? Because the reason he confused their languages. Because this now they imagine to do, and now nothing that they imagine to do will be restrained from them. That shows you what human beings can do. All right. Let's come to Genesis 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, just like they are today. We passed the 7 billion mark already. And when daughters were born to them, that the sons of the mighty ones, now, it says in the King James, the sons of God, but it means the mighty ones. Who do you suppose the mighty ones would be? All right. Saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful, and then took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now, here's the first thing that God said, because they were living to be 600, 700, 800, and Methuselah was 969. And by the way, the Arizona State University, or I think it's Stanford, I forget which one, but if you want to go online and Google it, they have the Methuselah Project, named after Methuselah. We want to live to be 1,000 years old. I'd rather live forever God's way. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men in his going astray, for he is but flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. All right. That's when he determined to limit man's age. And from that point forward, you look through the genealogies, and the age went down from 930 with Noah, down to the other ones, down to 400, 300, 200, 100, down to the time of David, and it says he was well stricken in age at 70 years old. Now come back to this 120. How old was Moses when he died? 120. Let's go on. There were tyrants on the earth. Now the King James says giants, and giants were tyrants. Could be either one. But these are not the offspring of angels and men, because the angels cannot procreate with women, because God didn't make them to reproduce. And also after that, the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. They were mighty men who existed of old, men of renown. How did they become that way? And scientifically, once you're able to get in to the cellular level, and you have all of the equipment, you have all of the understanding. Remember how old that they were. And you could put all of this together. Genetic transference of genes is not that difficult. I know I talked to a geneticist who worked for a company that did genetic modification of plants. And that's where I got the expression, a gene is a gene is a gene is a gene. All the genes and everything are interchangeable in the test tube, in the in vitro. The barriers are there to keep that from happening with natural procreation, with natural seeding, with natural pollination, with natural grafting and things like this of plants. That's an entirely different situation. All right, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and finish this here.